We've been getting you caught up on some of the headlines you need to know. A couple of important ones. Major League Baseball has canceled the Cubs-Cardinals London Series in June. That was set to take place June 13th and 14th. The two teams were set to play two games at West Ham's Olympic Stadium. That will now not happen because of the coronavirus pandemic. Also canceled Wimbledon. Wimbledon has been canceled. Not postponed, but actually canceled. So first time it's been canceled since World War II in 1945. It's also the first time since the tournament began in 1877 that the event will not be played during peacetime. Wimbledon had been scheduled to run from June 29th to July 12th. In fact, the ATP and WTA made a joint announcement today that all events at all levels of both professional tours had been canceled through July 13th. So that covers the entire grass court season. The same decision was made by the International Tennis Federation. So if you missed it earlier, we had Patrick McEnroe on to help break down some of that. Go check it out. ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance now. You can go online, get a custom quote, save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. You ain't got anything else to do. Get out to progressive.com. All right, one fun thing we've been doing, and we're asking you for your take on thoughts on the NFL playoff expansion. We now know yesterday they confirmed it. The top overall seed will get a bye. Nobody else does, and they're adding one team to each conference. So it looks like we're going to get a triple header. Heck, we're even going to get a game broadcast on Nickelodeon for kids, all right? Simulcast, I should say. They'll still do the regular broadcast, also simulcast on Nickelodeon. So they're doing some fun, innovative things. You guys in on it, you out on it, you love playoff expansion, you hate it. You can tweet me at Jason Fitch. You can give me your thoughts on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll take the get off my lawn guy that says we don't want any more. We'll take the people that say give me something wild and crazy. We'll take all of it as we continue to get the breakdown on what you guys think. In the meantime, if you've listened to First Take over the last week, if you've listened to us, they're doing a cool series. QB Continued. See what we did there? QB Continued? Sounds fun, right? So every day we take a look at a different team, the quarterback of that team, and what it means for that team moving forward. We've gone through some superstar quarterbacks. That was no different today. As QB Continued made its way to Green Bay as the Booger McFarland joined Max and Stephen A. to talk all things Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
I'm afraid I think he does. And that's hard coming from me because, as I've said on many occasions, he's a bad man. Make no mistake about it. He's the most talented quarterback I've ever seen. Certainly not the most accomplished, but the most talented. Yes, he is. At least until Patrick Mahomes came along, and Patrick Mahomes has to have a sustained level of excellence before I'm willing to give him that. Aaron Rodgers is just that bad of a man. Here's the problem. Yes, Aaron Rodgers has a Super Bowl title. Although Brett Favre only has one, more outward as a person, more, you know, eccentric as a personality to some degree, more outward, more personable to some degree in a lot of people's eyes. You had people all over the airways. Oh, look at Brett Favre trip over his offensive lineman. Oh, look at him throw the ball underhanded. Oh, look at him throw it, run into the arms of his offensive lineman. The kid in him is still there. It's nevertheless all of this nonsense that they throw out about Brett Favre to keep him relevant. Not that he didn't deserve it because he was great, but you know what I'm saying. Bottom line is, though, Kenny Stabler had one title. Jeff Hostetler had one title. Mark Rypien, Trent Dilfer, Phil Simms, Joe Theismann, people like that, one title. When you get more than one, then all of a sudden, it's Peyton Manning that's up there. It's John Elway that's up there. It's Roger Staubach that's up there. It's Big Ben Roethlisberger that's up there. It's just a different dimension in terms of the conversation from an historical perspective where people start reflecting on your career. They remember you or whatever. Doug Williams can get away with only having one Super Bowl title because he was the first black quarterback to pull it off. So there's historical significance there. But for the most part, guys that won one Super Bowl, you respect them, you praise them. But when you talk about them with the allure that history brings to your argument and what have you, something is lacking when it's just one. Him and Drew Brees, I believe, are going to have that issue. Aaron Rodgers more so than Drew Brees because unfairly, I might add, because I love Aaron Rodgers, but he isn't considered the most personable dude in the world or the most likable dude in the world. And I think those things will get held against him when it's just one title. He wins another, argument goes away.
I couldn't disagree with you more. I think things have changed because Tom Brady got six. So now it's like, if you want to be in the GOAT conversation, you better have more than one. It used to be, you needed one just to be in the GOAT conversation, or else Dan Marino, who was throwing 45-plus touchdowns in an era where no one else was doing it, would be in that GOAT conversation. He's not, because he didn't have one. Had he, he'd have been right there. Peyton Manning getting his second certainly helped him, because he's a contemporary of Tom Brady's. Aaron Rodgers already got the one. The guys you mentioned, Stephen A., for the most part, were not quarterbacks on the same level as some of the other guys. So, for example, John Elway would have been remembered like a Donovan McNabb type. Very gifted, getting his team all the way there, but not over the top, right? Not actually winning the chip. He got a running back last couple seasons, got to. That really helped him. He was in the GOAT conversation for a while. Brett Favre's got one. He's in the GOAT conversation. If you are already super talented and among, you know, generally a top 3 to 5 quarterback of your era year in and year out, and you got a Super Bowl, you're an all-time great. Drew Brees is an all-time great. Aaron Rodgers is an all-time great. What he could use is another one to start having people say, wait a minute, he's got 2. I know Brady got 6, but Brady's with Belichick. Especially, let's see what happens in this divorce, Brady and Belichick. If Rodgers gets another one and then gets close, let's say one more time, you start to look at it and say, look, contemporaries thought he was just better. He, you know, he never threw interceptions, threw a lot of touchdowns, could do everything we want, and he has that second Super Bowl. Now he can, you know, unlike Peyton Manning, he didn't choke under pressure in the playoffs. So Rodgers could start to maybe enter a GOAT conversation with a second Super Bowl. But as far as just all-time great goes, he's already an all-time great. He's already been validated by the Super Bowl. He does not need another one to be called an all-time great.
You know what, Max? I completely agree with you. He's an all-time great. Now, from an accomplishment standpoint, he may not have GOAT accomplishments, but when you look at what does the all-time great mean? That means you are one of, or you have been one of, the best to ever be whatever it is that we're talking about being all-time great. There was a period of time where Aaron Rodgers, we talked about him being the most talented quarterback in the National Football League, a period of 5 to 8 years. When you look at some of the records that Aaron Rodgers had from a passer rating standpoint, he's probably the quarterback that's taken most care of the football in the history of the game. Not his era, but the history of the game. And when you talk about touchdown to interception ratio, yeah, I get it. He only has one Super Bowl. And I think what we hold against him is the fact that he's arguably been the most talented quarterback that we've ever seen, and he only has one Super Bowl. Let me remind you guys that there are 22 players on the field, and even when you're great, even when you're the best at what you do at a particular position, you still need help. How many times has Aaron Rodgers been in a position where we said, can the defense in Green Bay be better? How many times where we've said, can Aaron Rodgers have a few more weapons? Aaron Rodgers is an all-time great quarterback, but he just can't do it by himself. Mm. And to your point, Max, about John Elway, yes, I get you. John Elway got helped by Terrell Davis. But regardless, John Elway would be an all-time great. I think we get accomplishments and championships confused with whether or not you're an all-time great. Hell, Charles Barkley.
But Jim Kelly, is Jim
great.
Kelly an all-time great?
Karl Malone.
Hold on, Max.
Dan Marino. These people can be all-time
great. Is Jim Kelly an all-time
without
great?
Without championships.
Hold on, Booger. Hold on, Booger. I'm not questioning the greatness of Aaron Rodgers. I'm the one long before Max Kellerman ever arrived on this show with his crew cut. I was talking about the greatness of Aaron Rodgers. This is not a discussion about that out at the end of the day, because we all three of us agree with it. What we're highlighting is the fact that, again, people that are in this business that have an obligation and a job, occupational responsibility to discuss these things would never be foolhardy enough to ignore the greatness of Aaron Rodgers, how he's an all-time great. But the point is, the novice out there, just the layman that's watching football and discussing the history of football from afar in years to come, the reality is that those dudes that win a Super Bowl don't get discussed nearly as much as the others. And that's what we're really, really talking about here. We're talking about the level of appreciation that Aaron Rodgers' greatness warrants and what he will ultimately receive. If indeed he never wins another Super Bowl.
Let's first take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Come on. I mean, the Super Bowl portion of this conversation is the most moving argument that we have for every quarterback. We just pick and choose on Eli Manning. Well, sure, Super Bowls, but what about? On Aaron Rodgers, we're going to say, sure, but what about only one Super Bowl? Come on. The fact is, we'll make any conversation about the Super Bowl fit whatever the narrative is that we want on that quarterback. And there's no way right now anybody can be questioning the greatness of Aaron Rodgers. If you watch football for the last generation, you've seen how stinking good he is. And there's nothing about Super Bowl wins or lack thereof that will change any of that. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. But one thing we like to do, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, Progressive's Home Quote Explorer, changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. We'd like to take QB continued and move that conversation a step farther by bringing in an expert that can help us look at what to expect this season. So we are now joined by ESPN Packers reporter Rob Domofsky. Rob, thanks for your time. Where are you on Aaron Rodgers in the all-time great category?
You know, that's a great question, Jason, because here, he's won, what, one Super Bowl and two MVPs, right? I covered most of Brett Favre's career as well. Favre won three MVPs, but he only won one Super Bowl and got back to a second one. But think of how long Favre played after the Super Bowls without getting back to another one. He went to the Super Bowls in 97 and 98 seasons, never got back. In fact, he didn't get to back to another NFC Championship game until 2007, his last year with the Packers. So It's a hard legacy question, and make no mistake about it, Rodgers cares about legacies. In fact, I have a piece this morning on ESPN.com where he talked about finishing his career with the Packers, and he said his legacy is important to him, and the Super Bowl thing is a big part of it.
We're talking to ESPN Packers reporter Rob Domofsky. So, Rob, I'll be transparent. Matt LaFleur is a head coach that I'm not sure I had a lot of belief in. I watched him a lot with the Titans and didn't think that that offense was necessarily as epic as some thought it should be under him. Yeah. And then he takes the job with Green Bay. And it seems like there's been some mixed reviews. But the wins, losses, you can't dispute. So where is the relationship at this point in your mind for Matt LaFleur, the head coach, with Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback?
Yeah, that's a great point in terms of what a lot of people thought about LaFleur, and here was the thing that everybody told me when they hired him. Everyone said, really good guy, can't believe he's a head coach already based on, you know, where he had been. And he was hired to get Aaron Rodgers back to playing at an MVP level. He didn't do that. Rodgers, the offense was very much inconsistent, but what LaFleur did that I think was so underrated was his ability to get guys to believe in him, get guys to believe in the leaders on this team. That's why they went 13-3. And it's also why this offseason would have been so critical for them. Think about this quote from their GM, Brian Gutekunst. He said right after the season, really excited to see what Rodgers can do in year two, because Matt, meaning Matt LaFleur, had talked a lot about the jump that Matt Ryan made from year one with him to year two in terms of when LaFleur was the quarterback's coach in Atlanta. Year two was 2016. That was the Falcons Super Bowl year. And I think a lot of people were thinking that this offseason, him and Rodgers would really kind of hone in on what they were going to do offensively. And this whole, you know, unknown about what this offseason is going to be like, I think it's going to have a big impact on Rodgers and LaFleur and whether they can take the next step with this offense, because they've got a good football team, as we obviously saw by them getting to the NFC Championship game, but they've got to get over the hurdle of being an inconsistent offense, which is what they were last year.
You mentioned they got to the NFC Championship game, and I feel like it's forgotten. For whatever reason, they just didn't get the hype and love last year that we're so used to the Packers getting. So, you know, 13-3, how sustainable is the level of success they had in your mind from last year?
I think it is, to the degree that they've got a lot of young talent, especially on the defensive side of the ball. All the money that they spent in free agency last March was on guys that were like 26 years old, not guys on third contracts, guys on second contracts. And so, speaking of the Smiths in particular, how dominant they were and how much they were on the field and how much football they have left in them. But here's the thing, Jason. They could end up having a better roster top to bottom this year, depending on what they do in the draft, if they add a couple weapons, and not have as good a record. because so much went their way last year. I mean, they were barely injured. The only major injury they had, and it's not even really major, was Davante Adams in the turf toe, and he missed four games. That was it in terms of starters that really missed any significant time. And then when you look at things that went their way, I mean, they play the Chiefs in a primetime game with when Mahomes is out with the knee injury. They just had so many breaks go their way that I think they could end up being a better team in 2020 but have a worse record.
We're talking to ESPN Packers reporter Rob Domofsky. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. So mentioning the draft, as they go into the draft this year, what do you expect them to be? What's their number one need?
Well, it's weapons for Rodgers. They made a run in free agency at Austin Hooper, the tight end, but it just got too expensive for him. They just didn't have the room to do it. Every year for about the last 3 years, I thought they were going to draft a receiver high. And the last time that this team drafted a receiver in the first round was 2002 with Javon Walker. Now, they've had some great success in the second and third rounds where they've gotten guys like Jordy Nelson and Adams and Randall Cobb and James Jones and on down the line. But this just seems like the year that they would go with a receiver in the first round. Now, the flip side of that is that we all know this is a very deep draft in terms of receivers, so maybe they could get a guy on day two that might be just as good as somebody on day one. But either way, they have got to address, in some ways, a guy who touches the football. Last year, they only added two guys in free agency and the draft that touched the football. One was a third-round tight end named Jay Sternberger, who didn't play much last year, but with Jimmy Graham gone, probably is going to get a ton of opportunity. And the other is a running back, Dexter Williams, in the sixth round, who didn't play at all last year. So they really have got to add guys that touch the ball in this draft.
You can follow him on Twitter at Rob Domofsky. Rob, as always, we appreciate your time. Stay safe out there. Thanks for joining us.
All right, you too. We'll be seeing you.
First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. Love the deep dive there from Rob on all things Packers, and that's part of what we do every day with the QB Continued series. It's taking a step farther. We're asking you guys to give us your thoughts on NFL playoff expansion. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You love it, you hate it. What would you do with it? Joe in Connecticut, what's your take on NFL playoff expansion?
Hey, Jason. First of all, I loved it when my New York Giants kicked those Patriot butts in the Super Bowl.
Attaboy.
And I think for the next few years, my Giants are going to be kind of a mediocre, maybe 500 club. So I'm in favor of the NFL expansion because my Giants may just be able to sneak in. And even the crosstown Jets may have a chance to sneak into the playoffs. So it gives the New York teams, a chance to get in there and beat up on some of the big boys. So I'm all in favor of it, and I think it gives us more games and more excitement, more fans getting involved.
Joe, I think you're absolutely right. I love your take on it. And look, you know, you mentioned the Giants and the Jets, you know, and the shot at 8-8. Part of what has made the NFL such a draw to so many people is that you can go from worst to first. You can be the 49ers, go from the first overall pick to the draft in the draft to suddenly the Super Bowl. But even more attainably, you can go from being borderline irrelevant or bad to suddenly finding yourself in the playoff bubble for a year. And that's why you have to appreciate the year that you're in so much. I mentioned yesterday, you know, how obsessed we were with the Jaguars a couple of years ago and then the Bears because of their defense. And we saw in the next year each of those teams take a step back. It's a reminder that the way the NFL's built, every year you have this huge opportunity to spike up, but then this huge opportunity to fall down. If you're looking at 8-8 as a viable sort of record for your team at the beginning of the year, you are looking at a viable opportunity at the playoffs. That's just real now, and that's what happens through expansion. It's going to give more fans the opportunity to at least have something to cheer for at the end of the season. Look, it's not just about winning Super Bowls. Everybody wants to say it is. For most of us, it isn't. For most of us, it's watching meaningful football, games that still count, games that still matter. That's what drives you back to the NFL in November and December, is knowing that somehow, some way, you still have a chance. That's what playoff expansion is going to give all of us. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll keep taking your thoughts on NFL playoff expansion. Bunch of you guys want to chime in. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. We'll get all of your take coming. Plus, the NFL draft is almost upon us. Who's got a higher ceiling, Tua or Burrow? First Take broke it down. You'll hear that next. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and we'll get to some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. We'll just try all that again. We'll get to you to some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless in just a second about the NFL draft, as the guys had a debate about Tua and Burrow. But I want you guys to chime in. You stacked the line, so let's get a couple of these in quick here. NFL playoff expansion. You in, you out, you love it, you hate it. 888, say ESPN, 888-729-3776. Give me some fire. Steven, what's your take on it?
Oh, I like it because I think it gives us more football that's worth watching. It takes away some preseason games, which no one really, they watch, but they don't really watch it. And it gives some, like, teams that lost a quarterback early in the year or some major injury early in the year, they have a chance to come back and actually do something.
Oh, I like that take. That's an interesting angle on it because they add more playoff teams than, you know, you're going to watch that injured reserve designated for return thing become a big deal. Sean in Washington, what's your take on NFL playoff expansion?
Well, football is never a thing. But what's it going to do?
Oh, man, I wish we had more, Sean. We'll try again or try us back again. That line's not working for us. Kirk in Virginia, what's your thought?
Hey, how you doing? I think, man, they ought to add two teams to each conference and have every team play every round. They do something similar in the NBA, and I think most people seem to like it. You know, the first seed and the second seed, they're going to have home field advantage throughout most of the playoffs, and the second seed will have home field advantage until, if in fact they play the first seed. And I think that would be a lot better. No team should have that kind of an advantage. The regular season has an attrition to it, and I think the postseason ought to have that as well.
Oh, Kirk, thanks for the call. Kirk's going for more expansion, but you make a great point. That top overall seed, this is what I'm interested to see over the course of the first few years. Are we going to see simply the first overall seed advance every time because they get that week off? They get the opportunity to heal. They get that opportunity to get themselves right. I mean, does that become such a massive deal that it's virtually impossible to overcome? I'm really interested to see that. We'll get more of your thoughts on it. Playoff expansion, 888, say ESPN, 888-729-3776. I know you guys want to chime in. You can tweet me also, but let's get some Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less only at Walmart. And we get it from Stephen A. and Max having a draft debate about whether Tua or Burrow has more upside this year.
Well, first of all, it's easily Tua, assuming that he's healthy, because Tua's not going to end up with the Cincinnati Bengals. Let's just get that out of the way. The Cincinnati Bengals are going to grab Joe Burrow with the number one overall pick, the Ohio native, and the fact that he's going to be contaminated by that franchise, just like the citizens, the great sports fans in Cincinnati are contaminated by that franchise. That's really where the problem lies. That's number one. Number two, Tua, I remind everybody, in his two full seasons as a quarterback, the 15 games he played the previous year, the 9 games that he played last year, he completed 69% of his passes his first full season as a quarterback after coming in at halftime, after halftime for the national championship game and delivering a national championship over Georgia. I was there. It's one of the greatest moments I've ever experienced in my career. He had that going on. Then he comes back. He completes 69% of his passes, gets back to the national championship game before getting trolloped by Clemson. Then he goes last year, and he's balling out, completes 71% of his passes despite not being healthy all year long before he ultimately got hurt against Mississippi State. This dude is a marksman. He's an accurate passer. He can scramble. He's got a solid arm. He can ball, plain and simple. My reservations about him strictly involve his durability, his health, because in the collegiate level, you obviously were sustaining injuries. What are you going to do on the NFL level where grown men are coming at you with mouths to feed and mortgages to pay and things of that nature? There's an elevated level of urgency and veracity that comes with the NFL game that may not exist in college. I'm concerned about that, but in terms of sheer ability, along with the fact that he ain't going to end up with the Cincinnati Bengals, I'd say Tua's upside is greater than Joe Burrow, and I like Joe Burrow a lot. And I think that he has the potential to be great, but I think he's going to be contaminated by being in Cincinnati, and Tua doesn't have to worry about that.
Man, I just think I see this opposite as most people. You know, most people, because I was making the argument, you have to consider Tua number one overall. Really, if not for injury, maybe he would be. But that's not because I think his ceiling is higher. It's because were he healthy, I would consider him a safer bet. Because he has, although Dan Orlovsky argued effectively, I think, against this idea, Burrow has a little deeper resume than people realize, but I've been paying closer attention. Like, Tua has been playing in high-profile games, a lot of them quicker than Joe Burrow did, with more success. He's extremely accurate and reminds me and everyone, in a way, of a left-handed Drew Brees. Like, he's accurate consistently. He has that thing about him, the whole thing. So the injury is the reason it's like, wait a minute, red flag, but nothing else really. He doesn't have amazing arm strength. Neither does Joe Burrow. He's not a speed demon. Neither is Joe Burrow, but they're both mobile. That's why I like Tua, in fact. Were it not for injury, I'd say, boy, that's a safe bet. But in terms of the peaks they can hit, look, Burrow's not much older than Tua. And I just saw Burrow hit a peak maybe no one else has ever hit in the history of college football. Like, you can actually make that claim and defend it. Burrow just capped arguably the best season ever with one of the best games ever on the biggest stage you could imagine in a come from or a win where really required a guy biting down and coming up big. He's extremely accurate like Tua. He's mobile even if he's not like a burner like Tua. He does a lot of the things Tua does, but a little taller. And I've seen him hit a higher peak already at not that much more of an advanced age. So, yes, I love Tua. I think he, if it weren't for injury, maybe he would be the number one pick. But that's because I think his skills, it's like a little safer bet in terms of the peak. I've seen Burrow hit higher peak.
Let's first take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I mean, you're really talking about two amazing players there. But if you're going to ask me who has the higher ceiling, injury taken away from it, I think I'd have to go Tua, but I still wouldn't be comfortable taking him first overall when I know that Joe Burrow's out there. I think Joe Burrow's going to be absolutely incredible, and he doesn't have some of the same health questions that we've had from the other side. If you've missed our show today, go check it out. It's on demand in the First Take Your Take podcast brought to you by the Capital One Quicksilver Card. Earning unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere. What's in your wallet? We're taking your thoughts on NFL playoff expansion, 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. Greg in Kentucky, give me your take. What you got?
I hate this. Let's be honest. At the beginning of every NFL season, you can pick 6 to 10 teams that are going to be in your conference championships. Everything else is just watered down bull crap. But this just proves that the NFL is all about adding more games, more teams, and more money. This mediocrity.
Well, I mean, you're right. It does prove that they're going to add more games, but I'll go back to if we're saying that they're going to add more games and add more money, that means we're watching it. So, you know, are they adding, you know, this is like when you drive around and you see a new restaurant open up in your town and you're like, oh my God, are they putting another of the same restaurant? Why are they putting another Starbucks across the street from an existing Starbucks? Well, supply and demand, because both Starbucks are able to be, you know, filled. And so if we're going to continue to support it, continue to spend money on it, why am I going to fault them for maximizing them? Brian, in Dallas, what's your thought on NFL playoff expansion?
Well, I think it's a great idea. I think you have to add one caveat, and that's you've got to eliminate the automatic bid for the division winners, because I think that'll help mitigate this so-called rewarding mediocrity. Because I seem to remember a couple of teams in the 2000s, one Chiefs team and one Dolphins team that were both double-digit winners but missed the playoffs because of that division divisional winner automatic bid.
So you're just going to give me two conferences and the best seven teams in each conference go?
Yeah, I believe that's the best way.
Ooh, I mean, that is, I hear where you're coming from. That would give us a more accurate champion for sure. You know, but man, I just can't imagine watching the AFC and not really caring anymore whether I'm playing the Chiefs or the Chargers or the Broncos, and suddenly everybody's on equal course. Like, maybe I'm get off your lawn guy, but that feels shocking to me. Lou in Michigan, what do you got? What's your take on playoff expansion?
Hey, Jason. First of all, man, you're doing an excellent job. I love the show.
Thanks, man.
What I want to say is, how arrogant is the NFL? You know, UFC, MLB, NBA, all canceled, everything. Right now, I'd watch a wiffle ball in my front yard if it was on. So, of course I'm in for expansion. You can't take division winners out, though. It's too much part of history of the sport. But absolutely, I'm all in on expansion. But the NFL has the best timing to where everything's canceled. Of course they're going to bring up expansion right now. Everybody's all in on it. Nobody can argue the other way. It's impossible.
Well, and you're right. Thanks for your take on it. You're right about the flat-out arrogance of the NFL, but, I mean, I got nothing but respect for it. I mean, come on. They've looked at it and said, no, we're not going to delay free agency. Why? Because there's nothing else for everybody to obsess over, so we'll obsess over free agency. Then they say, nope, we're not touching the draft. Heck no. Why? Because we're all cooped up in our houses. When we hit April 23rd through 27th, you want to tell me that you won't salivate over every ounce of draft coverage that you could possibly get? It'll be a real live event for everybody to cover. Heck, ESPN showing NBA players tomorrow or Friday playing NBA 2K20. We're so thirsty for content. I mean, absolutely. And the NFL is just saying, hey, we're going to keep doing business as usual. The NFL is not going to stop doing business unless the government shuts them down in certain locations and won't let them. To me, that's clear. And Roger Goodell has made that clear as he's continued to just plow forward with it. But we're so hungry for it. I mean, they're maximizing on it. Let's go to Sean in Washington. Sean, what's your thoughts on NFL playoff expansion?
Well, in my opinion, more football is never a bad thing. But I'm curious on how it's going to affect the landscape of fantasy football. All of a sudden, week 17 this season becomes more relevant and teams are going to be playing harder. The bottom seeds are trying to get in and the top seed is playing to hold on to that number one seed. What's that going to do for the fantasy football landscape?
Oh, you are so right about that, Sean. I hadn't even thought about that, you know, and you're talking about the opportunity for as we get into playoff rosters, everybody's going to be really just fired up about the end of the season. It actually, in some ways, will benefit it, though, because you're not going to have to worry about your team sitting everybody or your quarterback being sat just because they've locked up their division. I mean, hopefully it gives us more reason for people to be playing at the end of the year. At least that's my mindset. David in Washington, your thoughts on NFL playoff expansion?
Hi. I was just saying that the division winners should still get in, but they should give home field advantage to the top records. So just winning your division gets you in, but it doesn't necessarily get you a home game.
Now that I'm all in for. 100%. I mean, Roger Goodell's not asking me to fix it, but I am 100% for you win your division, you're in. But we're going to reseed everything once the playoffs have started. I would be all in for that, really rewarding the best teams from the regular season by giving them the opportunity to be at home. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We're going to keep taking your thoughts on NFL playoff expansion. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. More of your take coming up. Plus, no one should defend Jameis. That's at least what Stephen A. thinks. You'll hear it next. First, take your take on ESPN Radio.
GEICO has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
First take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. I want your thoughts on NFL playoff expansion. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Love it, hate it. Give me your thoughts on it. In the meantime, Jameis Winston, according to Chris Godwin, didn't deserve all of the blame for the turnovers. Chris Godwin, the star wide receiver that's now going to get to play with Tom Brady. As they started to figure out how to assess Jameis Winston, Lewis Riddick joined Max and Stephen A. to debate whether anyone should be coming to the defense of Jameis Winston.
Well, first of all, it's difficult for me to defend a person that I think should have been defensive player of the year, even though he was a quarterback because he threw 30 interceptions, and his turnovers equated, like you said, to 112 points for the opposition. As far as I'm concerned, Jameis Winston should have walked up there as a quarterback on stage to accept defensive player of the year honors, even as a quarterback, because that's how pathetic it was, even though he did throw for 5,100 yards and 33 touchdowns. Not to mention the fact that I don't want to hear from Chris Godwin or anybody else about coming to the defense of Jameis Winston. Here's the reason why. If you wanted to defend him so much, how come you didn't defend him to your own coach, Bruce Arians, who had no problem letting him go? Let's keep that in mind. Having said all of that, I will say this. Could he be a starting quarterback in the NFL? Yes. Not just because of his ability. I remind you, Max Kellerman, Andy Dalton started games. Joe Flacco started games. Eli Manning, before he retired, started a whole bunch of games. We saw a few people, Mitchell Trubisky, starting games in Chicago. Everywhere you turn, you know, not everywhere, but a lot of places you turn in the NFL, you see mediocrity. You see guys that may not make the mistakes that Jameis Winston make, but they also can't do the things positively that Jameis Winston can do. And so when you take that into consideration, I'd say, no, he's not a top 10, not even a top 15 quarterback. But in terms of being a starting quarterback for one of the 30 teams in the NFL, I think there are about two or three locations where, you know, you could justify having Jameis Winston there compared to what you already have.
Yeah, as far as being a starting quarterback, could he be a starting quarterback in the NFL? Yeah. Could he be a winning starting quarterback, the kind of quarterback that you're not looking to replace? And in the scouting world, that's really how you separate them. You separate them from being all pros, the kind of guys who are top five, top 10 in the NFL, solid starters who you're not looking to replace, starters you are looking to replace, and then backups. He's a starter you're looking to replace. I think that's his ceiling at this point in time as far as how people are going to look at Jameis. Here's the issue with Jameis Winston. I don't know. Well, let me put it this way. Here's, I think, what Chris Godwin is trying to say about Jameis Winston. If you go back and you look at 2019 and just 2019, there's no question that Jameis was the victim in many cases of receivers dropping balls, getting tipped up in the air, and then the defensive back catches it. Wide receiver, quarterback not being on the same page. Look, you can see it. If you objectively look at it, you can see that it happened. But there are still way too many instances, both this year and in his history, where it's just a function of bad decision-making. Flat out bad decision-making. So I can understand what Chris is saying. I don't know if Chris defended him to Bruce Arians or not. I will say this, though. In a league that is designed for parity and games are decided by 7 points or less, sometimes coming down to a field goal or an extra point miss or make, Jameis is a liability. There's no question about that. And he's going to have to really reevaluate where his career is heading at this point because the market's telling him. The market is speaking for him loud and clear about what people feel as though his future looks like as far as being a starter. And it's not pretty.
He gets all the blame for the interceptions and no credit at all for 5,100 yards. I don't love Jameis either as my starter, but boy, we are just throwing him under the bus right now. I want your thoughts. NFL playoff expansion, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Jake in Tennessee. Jake, what you got? What are your thoughts?
First off, I'm a big fan of the expansion, but I think it could have an adverse effect. You know, you look back at Peyton Manning's Colts and all these guys, they're 14-1, 15-1. That one seed is pretty much locked up, you know, week 12 during the season, and that fight for a bye is usually the number two seed. Number two seed's gone. I think the fight for the playoff is going to be your lower teams. I don't think there's going to be so much of a fight for a bye like they planned on.
That's an interesting take, Jake. I mean, there's such a separation from the one overall seed that, you know, that team separates itself early and suddenly you end up with everybody else just sitting people. That is interesting. Is there as much value at the two versus the three? Nathaniel in California, what's your thought on NFL playoff expansion?
Hello. I just wanted to say I love your guys' show.
Thanks,
and,
buddy.
My thoughts on the extension is that there's a good way to think of it, and there's a bad way to think of it. The good way to think about it is that the players, the NFL players, they get paid more, but in the playoffs, they get hurt more. So, yeah.
Nathaniel, I appreciate your call, buddy. I got to cut you off because we're almost to break. Call back anytime. Love the insight. Love the fact that you called in, and you're right. You know, there is risk for players. That is definitely part of the underside of this we haven't even talked about. They are playing extra games. We are going to get more playoff games, more playoff teams. So there is a risk then. That's a great point. Coming up next, the Will Cain Show. He'll give you the truth, as he always does, about the NFL playoff expansion. Everybody stay safe. Thanks for hanging out with us today.